Welcome to another edition of The War Room here on KOKC Radio. I'm your host, Sean Fry. We have a couple of familiar guests back on this week as spring sports are upon us, even though we're recording this on what was a very chilly Sunday. Shelby Liska, the head coach of the Parsons Vikings softball team, and her husband and assistant coach, Wade Liska. How are we doing today, everybody?
Great. Thank you for having us. Happy to be here.
For sure. Let's just jump right in. It's your third year inheriting. It's your third year of inheritance with this Parsons softball team. I speaking candidly and frankly, there probably wasn't a program that I cover at any level of any sport between the two papers that I work with. So there's about 12 schools there, including two JUCOs. There probably wasn't a program in a worse state than the Parsons softball team when you took it over. Participation, way down. Results, hadn't won in 3 or 4 years. Last year, you delivered a 4-win season. And I'm going to be honest with you both. Talking to admin and some just people around the community, just kind of feeling out who it's going to be. Parsons softball seems to be the answer I get the most common as to what we're most excited about for the spring. Not that some state berth is on the horizon, but 500 seems to be a possibility, and that would have been that's a fever dream 3 years ago. I guess the question I would pose to you is how do you gauge the optimism and the trajectory as we start year three this week?
I think there is an insane amount of buy-in this year from the athletes to their adults to the admin to the community. We had a really, really rough 2023 season, not knowing if we were going to have a full squad. Mm-hmm. We barely had enough. We went back and forth with schedules. And I think we took a step forward and then we took a few steps backwards. And I think everyone's realizing that we are here for the girls. We're here for the program. We're here to empower these athletes, to make them feel successful, which is something that they haven't always felt on the softball field. And so whether it's a victory from a game, whether it's a strikeout in a crucial moment, whether it's that big hit in the game when we need it most, whether it's a stolen base, I think these girls are ready to deliver.
Mm-hmm. Wade, I'll kind of toss it to you the same way. You know, how do you gauge what the trajectory of the program is right now entering the third season, knowing that this is probably as optimistic as it's been since Lindsay Pellock was a senior, and that girl is in the real world now, closer to me in my age. She's closer to me in age than she is the players for the Parsons Vikings.
Yeah, no, I think it has taken a couple of years to get the buy-in that we want. Because you go back to year one and we had to throw, or the year before Shelby took over as head coach, we had to throw Maria to the Wolves as a varsity pitcher. And
Maria Wilson, yeah.
She never had time to develop at that JV level and get her pitches where she needed them to be. And I think she's helped get the buy-in where it is because she has been the bulldog. Go get them. Tells girls not necessarily what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And Shelby's done a great job of getting girls on the field and meeting them where they're at and really building their confidence. And, you know, you can see it. The girls are excited to be there now. We used to get excuses. Oh, I have to go here. I have to go there. I can't be at practice. And now it's like, I want to be at practice. I want to be there. I want to make the team better. I want to do good for this program. So it's exciting.
Wade, you kind of answered what my next question was going to be, so I'll toss it back to you, Shelby. I've started to challenge coaches more on this, and it makes me sound a bit prickly, but whatever. I don't care. People think I'm prickly already.
It's okay. We have that relationship.
What does buy-in actually look like? Buy-in is such a cliche term. Clichés become cliche because their wisdom is worth endless repetition. What does buy-in look like in your program?
Well, I think Wade said it perfectly where girls aren't making excuses. They know the impact they have. And so showing up, especially during spring break, I have spring break practices early morning. And the week before, we have conferences. And we show up at 6 a.m., put in work. And so the first few weeks of practices are tough, and we make the most of it. But having all the girls there for that 6 a.m. practice, having most of the team with a few exceptions for spring break. I mean, just having the presence there and then the excitement and advertising ourselves and saying, you know, you should play softball, or talking to the young athletes and having members in the community coming up to us asking, are you going to keep coaching rec softball? Yes, we want to keep coaching rec softball. We want the girls to have fun. And so I would say excitement and confidence around the sport of softball.
Let's talk about your lineup a little bit and really what the product's going to look like on the field. Take me through who the key players are. And I guess maybe the first question I would ask you is, what's your defense going to look like? Because that was probably the over the 5-6 years in the aggregate, where you saw the most improvement last year was consistent fielding.
Thank you.
And, you know, it looked like they could field a ball.
Yes.
And I know that sounds insulting, but my goodness, for about 4 years, it looked like just wasn't the case.
And again, you're not wrong, because the fundamentals weren't respected. And we basically do a fundamental boot camp. Even if these girls have played, I have athletes this year who play softball outside of Parsons High School softball, which is so nice. So they can bring their skills to the field. But I mean, I am a firm believer that you have to practice the fundamentals, and we're having success and results from it. And so the girls are trusting me and what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So we have, we lost one senior last year, Arissa Wan, who was, I mean, just a great, consistent dynamite player for us, reliable, hardworking. So,
One of your better bats statistically,
yes,
too.
Yes, definitely. We have Maria on the mound. We have Cadence Ball, who's been throwing in the offseason as well. And so I'm really excited to see her make an appearance. We have Kara Haviland, who stepped up behind the plate last year. And so I had talked to her in the offseason, you know, hey, what are your thoughts behind the plate? And she, I mean, anything we say, she gives 200%. So I know I'm going to have a workhorse behind the plate. We've got Riley Dunley at first, Ava Sellers at second, Cadence Ball or Layla Haviland might be at third. I mean, we're kind of tinkering with a few things. A big addition to the team this year is Alex Stoneberger. Mm-hmm. She will
Really started to impress me down the backstretch of the basketball season,
yes,
too.
Yes.
They don't win the Lancer Classic without her.
Yeah, she's just a great presence on the field. She has fun. She listens to the fundamentals. She'll have some showmanship, and then I'm like, okay, get back to the basics. And then, okay. So then she'll have some results. And then we've got Braylon Mitchell covering ground in the outfield.
Right, is she still going to stick in left, or do we think in center for her?
We will probably be moving her around quite a bit, depending on where the ball's going to be placed, because that girl can cover ground. And this whole week for spring break, we're throwing BP, and you know, BP can be a time where you're having fun and relaxing with your friends, but you can also get some live reps. And it was astounding to see what she could cover and get. Mm-hmm. And so we have Chassie Baker. We have, like I said, Layla Haviland. We have Tier Smith, who is a senior this year.
Anybody disingenuous to leave off that she hasn't weighed?
No, I think we have a couple.
Who's the arm? Who's the big arm in the circle?
Honestly, I think it's going to be a split between Cadence and Maria, because, you know, Maria is that bulldog mentality. She's always going to want to take the ball in the circle. But this past summer and just these first few weeks of practice, Cadence has really shown that, like, she can pitch. She's been working on it. She's been doing things outside of season to make herself better. And I think we had a conversation with her at the end of last season that showed us that she wants the ball in the mound as well. But I think we have a couple freshmen, which is exciting, because they're going to get some JV time. They're going to get to develop correctly. So we're excited to see how they progress and what comes of them.
And to see what they learn from the older girls, who have been so wonderful. We have a lot of equipment. I have a very strict practice regimen, and the older girls have done a great job pulling them in under their wing and showing them what we accept and what our attitude is like on the ball field. So I'm really excited. They really have some of the best to learn from.
There we go. Yeah. Well, hey, let's go to a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to keep talking Parsons softball and what that program is going to look like. Shelby Liska, the head coach, Wade Liska, her assistant, on the War Room this week. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Don't go anywhere. We are back here on the War Room here on KOKC Radio. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Shelby and Wade Liska, the coaches of the Parsons Vikings softball team, are back in studio. What is this, like your third or fourth time
on here? I think it's
here?
Third.
Yeah, because you came on once, and then I brought you back shortly after that with a bunch of your seniors. Yeah. After you got your first win in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can't if there was another example, I can't if there was another visit, I can't remember. But going back to kind of the evolution of your program, one thing I was thinking about when I invited you on this week was, okay, that I wanted to ask you about is, you look at programs that are sustainable, programs that finish at or around 500 or better most years. I know that's what you're striving for. The programs that have that, their coaches and their structures generally have some sort of identity to their play style, whether it's uber aggressive base running or relying on power hitters or dominant pitcher, dominant pitching, small ball, whatever it is. Every team kind of has a through line of an identity. It's obviously tailored to the personnel a bit, but when you get that, machine going over generations, the personnel starts to feed into it just as much as you feed into the personnel. I don't think to a degree you've been able to install any of that type of that, because you're just trying to get them to be able to win games on any sort of consistent basis. What does the Liska identity of coaching look like? What are some styles that Parsons might start to see this year?
That's really funny you said that, because we were throwing BP this week and a lot of my girls are learning, I've always told them anyone can catch a pop fly. So I want hard ground balls, line drives. So whenever we're in the box, we're looking for our pitch. I always hit the ball to right center gap. That was my sweet spot, hit to the right side, drive runs in. And as I'm front tossing with Coach Clark and myself, and it's up the middle at our cage or at our screen, to the right center gap. And it just kind of clicked in that moment. And I'm like, can you tell that I hit there? Because that's something I really encourage for my girls, because a lot of high school athletes, in my opinion, aren't taught to split the plate. Where a pitch is pitched, hit the ball to the right side. Take the ball that's inside, pull it up the middle or to the left side. And so seeing these girls keep their hands inside the ball and driving it to the right center gap, it was kind of a moment where, okay, it's working. What I'm telling them is working. They're listening. They're able to incorporate it quickly into practice. So that's something. And then, like I said earlier, the fundamentals is really big. I would say defensively, I know errors are going to happen, but I would like to minimize our errors. So being a team that can lift themselves up after we have an error versus Parsons softball 3 years ago having a snowball fight on the diamond, right? Other teams trying to cause chaos. We're able to shut that down. We had a team try to steal home on us, and we were able to execute it. So I very much
emphasize, to a degree, you would get picked on.
Yes. Oh, 100% we get picked on. Yes. And that's putting it very nicely. And I'll just stop at that. However, when teams do try to pick on us, we are able to show them that we're not going to take it lightly anymore. So that is something that I want our girls to be mindful of when they are on defense, on offense, whatever that might be. So those are my two kind of things: offensively hitting to the right center gap, and then defensively making smart plays, knowing where your runner's at.
I just realized my Coke can has Santa on it, and maybe the Parsons son needs new Coke cans in its vending machine.
That or you're the only one using, you're the only one having them.
I promise you I was listening to you, by the way. I sound like one of your players right now.
Yeah, squirrel.
Yeah.
That could be a good
foreshadowing
for our season.
Yeah. Santa coming early. Oh my God.
One thing I do want to ask in particular, we talked a little in between during the commercial break, which for people who listen to the show but don't, we don't sit here for some allotted amount of time. It's just 2 seconds that record. So the commercial break is however long I want it. But we talked a little during the commercial break about Mariah Wilson entering her senior year. Maria, I apologize. Oh, my goodness. Here come the pitchforks. They already got me earlier this weekend. By the way, someone slashed, not slashed, they deflated all four of my tires outside my apartment, which... Slashing is one thing that can be something that's done in anger and done in like 30 seconds. They that sat was there and deflated all four.
Oh like, my.
Do you know the type of emotion you have to feel?
Big feeling.
The slow, yeah, the slow burn.
Oh my God.
So, the pitchforks are already out.
Yeah.
So, mispronouncing a name is it's just another day in the park for me. Maria Wilson, is she the type of pitcher that. We know she has, I mean, what? She's probably gotten 30, 40 decisions in her career at this point. Right. She has been in the circle a lot. But we also know, she just had, batters have hit her hard. She struggles with control at times. Mm-hmm. Is she going to get to a point this senior year where she can be a reliable enough arm to keep you competitive?
Yeah, I think she will be. I think she's very confident in her defense. Mm-hmm. I think she'll find her groove. I think the girls will be excited and will back her up. And I think she's going to show her worth. We've always known her worth, but I'm really hoping that she'll shine.
Mm-hmm. And then offensively, what do you kind of expect your is there a magic number you kind of sense, like, if we can get 5 or 6 runs, or if we can get 10, or if we can get 3, is there a magic number you're shooting for every game?
As many as possible. I'm running them.
20
break. Because I know what that feels like to have it happen to us. And I've always played the game with class. I always will play the game with class. If I see an opportunity to score, we're scoring.
There we go. A concept that I wanted to pitch to both of you, no pun intended there, is, and I'll start it by saying I saw a TikTok this weekend that I shared with a couple of my friends, and it was like some parent filming their daughter playing travel ball, and they had like the ASPCA music playing in the arms of the angels, and it was for $500 a month. God. You too can watch your daughter strike out.
Oh my God.
And then the top comment on it was, "My daughter strikes out so much better now that she has the new ghost," which is some fancy bat for people who don't know. The reason I found that so funny is I think even people high up in the sport who love it, they're going to admit that the travel ball culture, it's pricey, it's expensive. It's a privileged paywall that when you start bringing something like that into this community, you're going to start gatekeeping a lot of people at a school district where 3 of every 4 kids qualify for free and reduced lunch. Mm-hmm. I know you coach a lot of rec ball and summer ball in the off season. It's part of your overall approach to this rebuild. How have you taken that approach with your offseason, with your rec ball and everything like that, and how do you kind of keep it accessible to those in this community, knowing that probably 1/2 to 2/3, even 3/4 of the kids that come to you and say, "I want to play softball," probably can't afford to go play travel ball?
We have talked a lot about this. We follow a lot of people on Instagram who play D1, who now give lessons, and you have the elite charging and an insane amount of number for lessons. We've talked about the future of lessons for us in this town. I have my grandparents constantly buying gloves at garage sales. We have stuff, we have equipment donated, we have a couple helmets in our garage. My thing is you need a ball of socks and start with hand-eye coordination. Toss the ball up to yourself, catch it. Because I tell my high school girls, if you can't catch, you can't play softball. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to play catch to play softball. So start off there. And then that's one way we want to give back to the community, right? We want our girls to feel pride in their equipment. So one thing that we're doing for our program is investing in quality materials for our high school team. And then how can we trickle that down to the rec program? Well, we've got gloves that are easily accessible. You have hand-me-down cleats. Mm-hmm. Whatever our kids need, we just want them to be on the field. There are so many athletes that I've taught. I've taught second grade in this district. I teach third grade now. But I have so many athletes that fall through the cracks because money is a situation, and it and we don't want it to be a situation.
In the sport of softball as a whole, it, to me, that's of all the sports I cover, it's one of the for whatever reason, it's one of the most, it's probably the most susceptible one in terms of costs.
Yeah, and it can be, and we really at the end of the day just want to give our kids a glove. You know, get some tennis shoes on. We can build from there. We'll teach you the fundamentals. We've got a couple bats that we can use. But, I mean, you don't need a $500 ghost bat in order to be a good hitter. We've looked at different kinds of bats. We've compared. And at the end of the day, too, let's be honest, you're going to strike out. Softball is a game of failure. And so it's one thing that I really strive for as a coach is meeting my athletes where they're at, because when I struck out, it was the end of the world. I was the one that always drove in the runs. You have those pressures, you have those pressures, and I just want it to be enjoyable. I've told all the adults in the community that their kids are in rec softball, I just want them to have fun. Yeah, they want to win, but we want them to have fun, because if they are getting burnt out now, there's not a chance they're going to stay here and keep playing. So that's one thing we're really trying to do. Do you want to add to what we're trying to do as well? Yeah, I don't even know if that answered your question. Sorry.
It did.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the travel ball aspect is that everyone's going. If you take a look at what rec softball has been here.
And not to interject real quick, I think the infrastructure for rec softball in this community has, in Parsons, this is one of the areas where I specifically pick on Parsons, is it has been lacking. In recent years, I know you've addressed it, and it's gotten better, but man, like, and it's a problem with women's sports in this community as a whole, and that obviously is true nationwide. I think there's some issues that are more pronounced in Parsons, and softball in particular seems to get a big brunt end of that.
Yeah.
No, and I think where the rec leagues are starting to struggle is you have parents that say, well, my daughter should be playing every single inning. Why are they not doing that? Well, it's the rec league, and everyone has to play equal amount of time, and it's not – we're here to let them learn and grow. So then you have parents taking their kids out and putting them in travel ball, and then they take away from the rec league. But I think with our specific situation is that – some girls, they're going off and playing travel ball. And so that's taking numbers away from our rec league. But now, with Parsons Rec, we're trying to build those numbers back up, right? Like Shelby said, we're trying to make it exciting. We're trying to make it fun. And I think so far we've done a good job of that this last summer. But we're just, you know.
If I had like a 10-year-old daughter, what would it cost for her to play a spring season of softball here in Parsons?
A rec league?
I think it's 45.
It might be 45.
That's not bad at all. That's worth it.
Yeah.
And, we have girls that come. I don't have a glove. Okay, well, here, use this glove for today. And then, you know, if you don't have a game or a glove for a game or something, maybe we can share a glove with a teammate or something like that. But we also have girls that are going out there and playing without cleats. And it is an expensive sport. But there's ways of getting the equipment that we need for these girls in the rec league, and we just want to come out, have fun, and not have to worry about having the equipment that they need, because it's going to get provided for them.
What I would love, you know, I saw an idea pit, another TikTok I saw. I saw this idea pitch, and I don't know why, it was just some eureka moment, but this guy was talking about, he was talking about travel baseball, and I have my own thing about youth and travel baseball. It's so, my big issue is it's so fragmented. Are you Little League? Are you Babe Ruth? Are you U-Trip? Are you freelance? Are you just nothing? Are you unaffiliated? Like, well, Gerard can say they're like all four of those.
Right.
So, like, it's way too fragmented, and I think that, you know, comes with its own can of worms, but, you know, the rule, he said when he was playing travel ball as a kid, he said the rule was you had to be on your local rec team to qualify for the city's travel team. And apparently the travel team was managed by the same Little League or whatever that did the local rec league. I would love to see a rule like, maybe that's how you garner participation, is if PRC or whoever started running a travel team. But the rule is you want to play on this travel team where a lot of your costs might be lesser than if you were doing some free agent travel team.
Right.
You have to be enrolled in rec.
That's a great idea, because, I mean, I grew up playing rec softball, but I also did travel and play travel softball. And so it's to me, it's just a no-brainer. It was just extra games I got to play. I got to have fun with my friends. I got to go out. I could go ball out, do whatever I wanted in the summer. We'd have travel ball maybe on the weekends, but then throughout the week, we were home, local. And I know that's also another thing, because we've talked to a couple people, is that the travel expenses. And so I'm like, there is great softball, but you got to be willing to drive 30, 40 minutes plus, go to Joplin, we're at Oklahoma, you know, all those places that are close. It is gas, hotel expenses, food. I mean, I've talked to my mom about it, and I'm like, how did you make it work? We just did. I mean, and then that's where I realized. Oh, definitely. And then that's where I realized my privilege, and I don't want my athletes to ever feel that way. So that's why we also are giving. We're asking the community to give back to them. We've had a couple sponsors give our girls some practice shirts, and so shout out to Ballers and Stephanie Reitemeyer for that, and Commercial Bank. We really appreciate them. So, you know, that's one less thing they have to worry about. Yeah. Practice pants. That's one less thing that they have to worry about. So, you know, it's just that pride in their own gear, and so something, one less thing to worry about.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Probably what I'll wrap it up with is, I started the show by saying there's a lot, you know, Parsons is in a weird, not a weird, weird place is the wrong way to put it. Parsons is in a unique place, a unique place right now, to where the program that I keep hearing that almost, and let me put a caveat to this. Accepting boys tennis this spring, I think everybody in this room can understand boys tennis. They are the on paper favorites to win a state title.
That's wonderful.
Going to be very fun to watch this year.
Yes.
So I want to give them their flowers where they're
absolutely
due. And, but part of the reason, it's not that they're not exciting, but one of the most exciting threads that I hear about Parsons is softball might be all right this year.
We want to get a crowd out. We want people to enjoy their time there. We want them to cheer. We want the girls to feel love and support as well. And we just want to ball out and have a good time.
Well, any parting words there, Wade? I think it's only appropriate that the man gets the last word.
That can be after hours podcast. I'll talk to you later, sir.
No, I think it's great that people are excited for softball, because I think softball was just kind of went down a slide, and no one ever, it just kind of kept going down and down, and no one really cared for it. So now we've got a head coach that wants to bring softball back to Parsons, and people are taking notice of that and the things that she's doing, and they're excited for it, and they're excited that she's getting the younger girls involved, and you know, I think that the people that are chanting this up can see the hard work that's going in, and Hopefully that turns into some W's for us this year.
Shelby, I will let you end it. Entering your third year, I have asked you. Entering your third year, I asked you every year. You know the type of process it's going to take. It's going to take probably 5+ years. You feeling into year three? How are we feeling about what you've invested so far personally, and maybe how much further you still have to go?
Sometimes it, to be honest, sometimes it's you are invested in something more than others around you, so it hasn't been the easiest, but I feel very excited, supported, and for once it's uncomfortable to be happy, I guess, or really, really excited for things to come. So I'm proud of this group of young women, and I'm excited to see what they do.
All right. That'll do it for the War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Thank you to the Liskas, who are our guests this week. Everybody stay safe and God bless.